John, I love your show.
Who are you?
John Williams.
Here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
And so it begins.
411 CCO Radio. This is John Williams. Here we go. You know the cue to call. I'm reading from a story from the Star Tribune right now. Incidentally, moments ago I spoke to the office of the attorney for Adrian Peterson, and they said that when asked for a comment, they did not have one. I said, can you tell us just a little bit about the validity of the reports? She said, I'm sorry, our phones are ringing off the hook here, and I can't comment right now. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, according to the Star Tribune and other sources, but I'm reading now from the Star Tribune, has been indicted on a charge of reckless or negligent injury to a child in North Montgomery County, Texas, according to Mark Berman, sports director at the Fox TV affiliate in Houston. Berman cited sources in his report and said Peterson's attorney, Rusty Harden, the office I spoke to a moment ago, declined to comment. The charges stem from allegations Peterson beat a young son, according to Isaiah Carey of Fox 26 down there. Phil Grant of the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office told Carey the office cannot comment until a suspect is in custody. Peterson practiced with the Vikings on Friday. Obviously, we've been reporting to you mixed reports on that. Our Eric Nelson was there and said, yes, he was there, though other stations and sources are saying he was not. But WCCO Radio's Eric Nelson, as well as the Star Tribune, said, yes, he was at practice. Well, actually, Eric was speaking about him being there yesterday, and the Star Tribune is saying that he was there today. The team has not yet released a statement. Peterson did not participate in the Thursday practice, it says here, but he did give his regular news conference in the team's locker room. So I guess that's the difference. He was at practice, maybe he didn't participate. A 2-year-old son of Peterson's was murdered in South Dakota in October of 2013. A Sioux Falls, South Dakota man who was living with the mother of the boy was charged in that case. The boy lived with his mother, and Peterson saw him for the first time shortly before he was taken off life support. In an ESPN interview in 2009, Peterson said he had two children who lived with their mothers in Texas. He married Ashley Brown in Minneapolis in July. Sports Illustrated is reporting that it is not certain that he will be able to play in the game on Sunday. And I note that, again, the story from the Star Tribune says that Phil Grant of the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office said they will not be able to comment until the suspect is in custody. So it might be a matter of where is he right now and then what happens after that. We'll keep you posted on this. I'm going to take a quick break here right now, Dan. It's 4:15 on WCCO.
You're listening to News Radio 830.
Broadcasting live from the Land O'Lakes studio.
WCCO.
Maybe the meaning of Adrian Peterson's tweet was that God knows the truth and that's all that really matters. But he tweeted, let me see if I can find it again here. We're just trying to decipher this. Remember, the legal authorities don't say anything until he's in custody, evidently, and the Vikings are not saying anything, nor is his attorney. Earlier today, Peterson posted this message on Twitter, though it's not even clear that this is related to the case. Maybe this is just some general comment that he wanted to put out there. People understand, quote, people understand that if you are on God's course and supposed to have that position and man decides to remove you, know that God will remove everyone to place you rightfully. You matter. He also said, it's your season. Weapons may form, but won't prosper. God has you covered. Don't stress or worry, said Adrian Peterson. You've been texting to 81807. Somebody said, well, that's him hiding behind God. Somebody else said, this is just unbelievable. And another texter says, the NFL and other major professional sports, look at what you are doing to our young adults. Well, I don't know if that's the tail wagging the dog or not. I mean, I think all of these people are responsible for their own actions, and all we know is that he's been indicted on charges of child neglect and abuse in Texas. And am I imagining, Jordana, that I saw the number 4, or is that in some of these reports, or was it just one?
Four. I think it was 4 charges.
I've got a lot of...
Hold on, I got to go back to the original reports now.
Half pieces of paper as the various reports come in here, and I don't see it exactly.
Well, the Strib has on a charge of reckless or negligent injury to a child, but I believe the original reports were multiple. I will go back and double check, John.
John Hines is on a phone right now. Hi, John Hines. How are you, man?
How are you, John Williams, on this fabulous Friday afternoon?
I like your attitude. Can you believe this? I'll tell you what, this is just another kick in the gut. For those of us who follow sports or like to think that we appreciate the character and talent of some people, it's just getting harder and harder to do that all the time, John. And I know. Adrian Peterson has only been indicted. He's not convicted. We know so very little about it. But this is disheartening, man. This is really upsetting.
I agree. Disheartening is a good term, especially when you want those people who you want them to do better. You want them to be held in a better light and live better lives. And let's wait for the details.
Well, you know, really, at the end of the day, that's it. I mean, you want somebody not to hit their girlfriend or fiance because you don't want that woman to get hit and you don't want a child to be neglected. So that's first and foremost.
Exactly.
And if that's happened, that is the greatest shame of all. And then when it is somebody that we put on a platform, and we shouldn't. You know, I another takeaway from this whole week to me, I had a reporter on a minute ago from the Houston, not from the Houston Chronicle, from the Baltimore Sun. We were talking about Ray Rice. And I was just telling him about how, you know what, I've been looking forward to football season since the first pitch of the Twins season, for crying out loud. And,
right.
And I just thought, oh, doggone it. It's so much harder to enjoy the NFL these days. It's just getting hard. You've just got to keep looking away from one crappy story after another.
Did you happen to hear the conversation I had with an author named Steve Almond, who wrote a book called Against Football?
I did not.
He is a diehard Raiders fan, and that's not easy to be, he admitted, but for 40-plus years, he was a Raiders fan. And when he came to look at football in the bigger picture, you know, the concussion things and the oligarchy that is the NFL, as he referred to it, and he said, who can watch the combines and not recall the images of a slave auction from many years ago?
Really?
He has sworn off football. But then also for these other things that we now hear about and stuff, he said, he used to love nothing more than getting together with his buddies for a beer at the neighborhood bar to watch the Raiders on a Sunday morning, but no more.
I didn't ask you to come on just now to talk about this, but I'm going to finish this conversation, and then let's talk about what you're doing this weekend, John. But one other note, because a couple of you, people, friends, family near to me, said, listen now, just because somebody's charged with something doesn't make them guilty. And child neglect can also mean not paying your, say, child support.
Right.
In fact, there's a report that maybe he hit one of the kids with a switch, which is one thing, but there's a lot of things that's not. I'll just read to you again. He's been indicted in Montgomery County, Texas, for reckless or negligent injury to a child. Reckless or negligent injury to a child. We'll see more specifically what those charges mean as hopefully the afternoon or weekend progresses. But again, it's not certain now that he'll be able to play in the game on Sunday. So it's going to be a beautiful weekend in the Twin Cities, and I'm happy for you because you've got a great event going on, right?
Yeah, but I wish it was going to be a little warmer tomorrow morning.
Oh, really? I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Well, here's the thing. I have to be down at Elm Creek Park Reserve somewhere between 6:30 and 7 tomorrow morning.
I get to be down at 7.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm scheduled to be down there because besides the enjoyment of being allowed to participate in this fabulous ride for pancreatic cancer,
yeah,
I also am emceeing part of the start to the event.
Right.
And Mike Lynch's forecast said 39 degrees overnight tonight, colder in the outlying areas. And I said, describe an outlying area. Elm Creek Park Reserve, Maple Grove. He said, that's about as outlying as it gets. And we're so expecting, you know, it could be darn near freezing. And I, as much as I love to ride my bicycle, I am pretty much a fair-weather rider. I used to be the same way on my motorcycle. I didn't hide that fact. But I'm dragging out all of my cold-weather cycling gear and piling it up and getting ready to layer it on before I leave the house tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you got those gloves, do you, that you use when you ride in cold weather?
Yes, I do.
You got the long johns?
I got a long cycling pants. I'm missing the booties that can go over your shoe. You see so many of those surly snow bike riders wearing those kinds of coverings over their footwear.
Yeah.
I'm missing that, but I'll be okay. You know, tough it up, Hines. Come on, for goodness sakes.
What I'm thinking. Well, so is it? It's not too late to sign up. Can't you do it at the event itself?
I bet you could. Yes, I bet you could. And you know, they ask everybody to raise a certain amount of money to benefit the fight against pancreatic cancer and the Cancer Action Network.
Right.
So yeah, it's simple. Or you could go online. See, even still, I bet at wcco.com/purple.
Yeah.
And support somebody else who might be out there riding.
This event is called Purple Ride Stride Twin Cities, and it's
right.
going to be tomorrow at Elm Creek Park Reserve in Maple Grove. You can ride your bike. You can run, you can walk, you can also slalom, skate, or ski for the event because it's probably going to be snowing and John Hines will just be...
I feel terrible now about coming on whining.
No. I understand. I'm kind of sorry.
I'm a freeze baby. That's the truth. I'm a freeze baby. Anybody who knows me knows that.
A freeze baby?
Yes. It's like... You know, as much as I love to sit outside, I mean, I would love 95 degrees in dew points that are unbearable.
Yeah.
Means no, bothers me not.
Our next overnight lows are 39, 46, 48, 45, 48, but 73 a week from today, so we got that going for us.
Well, yeehaw!
But there is a certain sort of line in the sand when you have your first three on your thermometer, and that may be tomorrow morning when you're out there putting your skivvies on.
At least up there anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Johnny. Well, listen, have a great weekend. Ride hard, man. How many miles are you guys riding?
There's three routes. There's an 8, a 25, a 50. And since I am there to start out the others and talk to them as they leave the starting line,
yeah.
I am doing the 25.
Okay. So you'll buzz around there and then watch the rest of them come back in later on, right?
Yes, indeed.
John, good for you. I know you've been involved. This is your second year riding with
second
these guys,
year
right?
Second year for PanCan, yeah.
Yeah, so... Good for you, man. WCCO.com/purple. Have a great weekend, John.
Thanks, John Williams. You have a great weekend. Looking forward to the bright side.
Attaboy. Hey, John, are you going to call in on the bright side, John Hines?
Pardon me?
Call in on the bright side, man.
Well, I'll find one between now and then.
Yeah, I know, because you don't have one yet. Well, that's the beautiful thing about the bright side. I mean, we're halfway through the show. We're on till 6 here today. So it's almost 4:30. You've got another hour before we do that bit. We'll do it about 5:40 on WCCO.
You're listening to John Williams from 3 to 7 on News Radio 830 WCCO.
.436 on CCO. This is John. So a half hour from now, your chance to win Timberwolves tickets. How about them apples? We've got football on CCO Saturday. Dave Lee will do the Tommies. And we've got the Bright Side of Life coming your way at 5:40, where folks call in, tell us some good news in their world, why they're smiling, and we will smile with you. By the way, it's mushroom season. I have a guest sitting here to talk with us about that for reasons that you'll understand in moments. But before we get to that, I want to talk to Isaiah Carey, who is a reporter with Fox 26, which I believe is in Houston, Isaiah?
Yes, it is, John.
Hi, you're on WCCO Radio in Minneapolis. We're the CBS station here, not the Viking station, but the big news talk station in Minnesota, Isaiah. We've been following the Adrian Peterson story and the evidently indictment charges against him for disciplining an 11-year-old boy. How certain are you that this is, in fact, true? I mean, it's just trickling in. Are we rock solid on this, Isaiah?
I feel like we are. His attorney is expected to release a statement later today. His attorney, he's represented by Rusty Hart. Now, what I'm told in this case is initially this went before a grand jury once before in Montgomery County. And I'm told that Mr. Peterson appeared himself, was remorseful, said that he realizes he went too far. And then that grand jury decided not to indict him. Then I'm hearing the district attorney's office took it before a second grand jury. And that grand jury returned the indictment, according to my sources, today.
So why is this happening in Texas? I understand that the child was actually returned to Minnesota, correct?
Yeah, it's all about jurisdiction. If the alleged incident happened here in Texas, in Montgomery County, which is just north of Houston, then the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department would have jurisdiction. Now, I spoke with Brady Fitzgerald, who's a spokesperson for the Sheriff's Department, and he confirms that they did get the investigation. They say initially it was called into another police agency that was outside of the jurisdiction of where it allegedly occurred. And so it went to Houston Police. Houston Police then referred it to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department.
So can you just explain to me the family dynamic here then? Adrian Peterson's in Minnesota. Is the mother of the child in Minnesota, or is the mother of the child in Houston?
I'm told that the mother of the child is in Minnesota.
And then what was the boy or Adrian doing in Texas at the time of maybe these injuries?
Visiting Adrian at the time.
Adrian was there. The boy was visiting him there. Then when the child is returned to Minnesota, the mother noticed the injuries?
Yes, that's what I'm told.
And can you describe them? Do you know how egregious it was?
I have not been able to see the injuries as of yet. I'm told that there are photos that the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office has. There is a video interview with Adrian Peterson addressing the issue from the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. But that's the limited information that I have. But I have not actually laid eyes on the photos and seen the injuries on the child.
I believe it was Sports Illustrated was saying that the district attorney's office there won't speak until the suspect is, quote unquote, in custody. Do you know, are
yeah.
they going to, what's the status of that? Do you know?
I talked to Brady Fitzgerald with the sheriff's office, and he says as of about 4 o'clock today that Adrian Peterson was not in custody. But he did say that he had been fully cooperating with the investigation from the very beginning.
Well, I wonder if there's a warrant.
And just so you know, I have lots of great sources in this DA's office. And Houston is in Harris County. Montgomery County is north of Houston. And I actually live in Montgomery County and tend to cover this area, not in sports, just regular news. And soon as I called some of my best sources when I got the tip, they would only say, Isaiah, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about this case. And then I called another source in the DA's office, and he was like, let me tell you what the law is, Isaiah. We can only comment when the suspect is in custody. And that is very strange for, you know, the people who I consider sources in that DA's office.
Is there a warrant for his arrest then? Are they waiting for him to turn himself in?
It's likely there, since he's been so cooperative, according to the sheriff's office, there won't likely be a warrant. It, you know, they'll probably get a call, coordinate with his attorney, Rusty Harden out of Houston, ask him to turn him in and go from there.
Do you know if he'll be able to play in Sunday's game?
I have no idea.
And one last thing about this. Isaiah Carey's on the line from Fox 26, a reporter, obviously, in Texas. Do you have any sense of how grave this is? Are we inclined to maybe on the heels of Ray Rice make more out of this than it is? Or if you're indicted on these kinds of charges against an 11-year-old boy, it is what it is. I'm looking for some perspective, I guess, Isaiah.
You know, I would assume at this point the DA's office feels very strongly about it because they took it back before the grand jury, I'm told by my source, for a second time when the grand jury said no the first time. They no-billed it. And I got that from a very reliable source in the DA's office saying that they no-billed it the first time. So apparently the DA's office or the DA felt strongly about it that he brought it back. Whether it's a Ray Rice case or something else, I'm not quite sure.
Last question then. Anything else you have that I haven't asked you about, Isaiah?
Nothing that I can think of. Just my phone is blowing off the hook.
Yeah. Hang up with me, and we'll get back in touch with you, okay?
Okay, got it.
Isaiah Carey from Fox 26 in Houston, and that is what we know so far today. So Alan Burgo just walked in, and I said, dude, this is going to be a weird interview. How are you, Alan? Welcome to the show.
Good.
I hope I can make some time for a conversation with you. I need to read this as well. A statement from the Minnesota Vikings now reads, the Vikings are in the process of gathering information regarding the legal situation involving Adrian Peterson. At this time, we will defer further questions to Adrian's attorney, Rusty Harden. Close quotes. I called Rusty Harden's office, spoke to an assistant there who said they weren't able to talk to us at this time. It's 4:43. You are the proprietor of a website called ForagerChef.com, right?
Yep.
A chef in Minneapolis, too. You were most recently at Heartland, right?
I'm in St. Paul, actually.
St. Paul. Is that where Heartland is? I haven't been to that place.
Heartland's in St. Paul. Yep, right in Lower Town.
Got it. But now you're going to start someplace else, right?
Yep. I'm going to be the executive chef of the Salt Cellar, which is going to be right in Cathedral Hill on Selby and Western.
What's that restaurant going to be like?
It's going to be kind of a retro steakhouse concept with a bit of a twist, kind of with my kiss on some of that old steakhouse food.
It's funny because you think steakhouse, well, here's what you do. You get some really big tomatoes, and you put them on the side, and then you have a potato, and you get a really big steak, and you charge a lot of money for it. And that's about what most folks, I guess, expect. How do you do a steak restaurant differently?
Well, there's a lot of room for creativity in the small plate menu and in the sides, like all the little sides and vegetables that you might get along with that steak, or maybe the seasoning on the steak itself. One thing I'd like to experiment with is, I know that wild Szechuan peppercorns grow in Minnesota. It's actually the berry of the prickly ash plant.
Yeah.
And those are really, really fun to cook with.
I want to talk to you about that, although just let me see if I heard you correctly. You said small plates, which is kind of a thing these days, but you don't think about that when you think about steak restaurants. Are you incorporating small plates in a steak restaurant?
Absolutely, we will. There will be a small plate menu. I mean, there will be big pieces of meat on the menu, but also, I mean, from my perspective, I see in Cathedral Hill people wanting to have smaller portion sizes. They want to be able to try more interesting things and a variety. So that's definitely something we need to take into account.
So are you going to try and incorporate from ForagerChef.com, Forager, are you going to try and incorporate locally grown and found things?
Well, there's some ways that we could do that. The Midwest is one of the only places where we have a sumac that's harvestable. I'm not going to be going out and grabbing a lot of things for the restaurant because I need an army of people to supply me
with
stuff like that.
Well, it's mushroom season, though, right? And a lot of folks are kind of into that around here. Morales.
There are many, many mushroom seasons. It's not just in the fall. It actually starts right when the snow melts. There are mushrooms that will come up. The snow mushroom, Phylamelida volutipus. And then after that, the morels will come up. And there's all sorts of seasons that kind of intertwine and overlap throughout the year, depending on the rain.
Do I have a chance of walking around finding something that's edible and tasty and cooking it up at home?
Absolutely, you do. You need to do some research. You need to get some field guides. But it's definitely not as dangerous or unapproachable as most people think. A lot of people in the Midwest think, you know, you say wild mushroom, they say, oh, you mean morels.
Morels, yeah.
And morels are actually, I would say, one of the more dangerous mushrooms that you could try to pick.
Why is that?
There are lookalikes called Gyromitra. And those, if you put them in a pan and cook them, the fumes that come off of the pan could make you sick. But even those, they used to sell them canned in Germany.
Really, those?
Yep.
Well, so give me an example of something that I might be able to find around here that would be good.
Well, right now, if you go in the southern third of Minnesota, we have a lot of white oak trees. There's going to be some really, really good hen of the woods.
What does that look like?
The hen of the woods, well, it's named because it kind of looks like a hen roosting on some eggs. It's brown. They can be pretty hard to spot, but if you're in an area with white oaks, or yesterday I found about four on some maple trees, you can find them if you're there at the right time.
What, do you pull them off, clean them, saute them in a little oil or butter or something like that?
Yep, you got to make sure that you clean them. Depending on how the weather's been, they might be covered with a little bit of dirt. You want to trim them up just like any vegetable you pull out of the garden. And you always want to cook mushrooms thoroughly. There are a few that you could eat raw. Porcini you can eat raw, but I really don't suggest trying to eat any wild mushroom raw unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah. So would I be able to see these mushrooms and get tips like this on your site then, too?
Absolutely. There's a mushroom page that goes through about 30 different varieties that you could pick.
Do I have to go out in the woods, or can I find them along Minnehaha Parkway or one of the city lakes, something like that? Where do
you
find
them? Well, you want to make sure that you're not picking things by roads and maybe places that have been sprayed. You could probably go in your backyard. The fairy ring mushroom doesn't like to grow in the woods. That likes to grow in rings in your yard. It's a little more tricky to identify than some of the other ones, but once you find it and really figure out what it is, it's not that tough.
It's funny how sometimes you come out in the next morning and you find some sort of weird growing white thing in your yard that wasn't there like the day before. It's amazing how fast they can grow, right?
Yeah, they do grow very fast. Boletes and porcini in particular, I mean, you may have just a couple of days.
And then are those ones grown in my yard edible? Or
probably not, unless you have some. Unless you have a big patch of oak trees.
I wanted you to come in here and say, oh, yeah, John, just with anything in your yard, just cook it up. It's delicious. You're not saying that, are you?
No, I'm not.
So go to foragerchef.com for the guide. And then if you're inclined to be looking for, is this morel season, though? I mean, that's kind of
morels are only in the spring.
So really, this isn't time to get those. It's time to get the other things.
Yep.
And the most, and if I, one last question. If I were going to find one that was really worth my time, if you get that and you do it right, it's really going to be worth the hunt. What would I look for?
I would say chanterelles. Chanterelles are bright yellow. They're very easy to spot. A lot of other mushrooms are brown. All you need to do is go to a place that has some white oak trees in the southern third of the state. And you go there in the middle of the summer, early fall?
The website, foragerchef.com, is where you detail these things. And your new restaurant is Salt Cellar. It's in St. Paul. It opens when?
We're shooting for November 6th.
Let's talk about that then. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in and saying hi.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck to you, man. It's 449 on CCO.
Recently, a very troubling report came out about Minneapolis and sex trafficking. Let's talk to somebody behind the report and probably scare all of us concerning what's taking place in our state. Chad Hartman will do all this on Monday, starting at noon, Land O'Lakes Studio on WCCO.
It is 4:56. This is CCO Radio. Mike Maxwell will join us after the 5 o'clock edition of CCO Radio News and tell us a little bit about what they know over at Channel 4. And here at CCO Radio, he's our sports guy, of course. We were just looking online at a photograph which was tweeted out by our radio station. Is that right, Dan? So WCCO has tweeted a picture. And Dan, perhaps since you were looking at it more closely than I or longer than I was, you can tell what that is. That is from the district attorney's office in Texas, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a copy of the police report, which includes photos of the child that was allegedly abused by Adrian Peterson. And it's a photograph of the young man, obviously, or just his leg. He's wearing shorts or underwear of some sort. But you can see bruised stripes all down his upper thigh.
We counted 12.
At least.
Which
would be consistent, you know, eyeballing it, it would seem to be consistent with the
switch.
With an idea of a switch, yeah, of a stick or a branch.
So if you're just joining us, Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson indicted in Texas today for reckless or negligent injury to a child. According to a Fox affiliate there, we spoke to the reporter who broke the story moments ago. Child Protective Services confirms that they are working on a case involving Peterson and an 11-year-old boy. This from TMZ. Sources connected to Peterson tell us that the alleged victim is a male child from Minnesota who is visiting Peterson back in May at the running back's Texas home. The reporter we had on moments ago said that he was there visiting Adrian Peterson when the boy came back to Minnesota to his mother. That's when the injuries were noticed and authorities were called. We're told, says TMZ, the child returned home to his mother in Minnesota, who noticed the injuries and took the child to a doctor. A short time later, the doctor contacted authorities in Texas to report Peterson. More news coming up from CBS in just moments, and then WCCO Radio News. I've still got Timberwolves tickets to give away, we will. We could use a bright side on this radio station this week, and we will do that at 5:40. The news is coming up.